will speak through me. You will give us ears to hear. May you have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin. Do I want to talk about this passage? Do I want to talk about the election? What do I really want to talk about? And so I'm going to kind of throw all of it in because in one sense, this all has to do with where's our focus? Is it in this life? Is it in this world? Or is it in the next? Here's what I want to just say about the election. I am not here to tell you how to vote or who to vote for. What I want to do is talk about Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, and beyond. You know what's going to happen Tuesday, Wednesday morning? Someone is going to be elected president. And as a nation, it is up to us to respond, but especially as the church, we must be a people that respond properly to however the election goes. So what I want to do is give you four thoughts on what we do as we go forward, okay? So number one, as followers of Jesus Christ, regardless of the outcome of the election, we must commit to pray for and to give honor to the candidate who wins. We are to pray for them and to give honor. It says in 1 Timothy 2 that we are to pray for our leaders, that we may live peaceably. So our presidents, our governors, our congressmen, we are to pray for them. And one of the things that really has frustrated me in recent years, that whenever there is an election, there's always a group of people that they didn't get what they want, and they'll say this, well, that's not my president, or that's not, you know what, if you are a citizen of this land, the person that wins is your president. They may not be the person that you choose, but we are called to pray for them. And then the second phrase is we are called to give them honor. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, Peter writes, be subject, this is 1 Peter 2:13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it is to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God. How many of us, we go, Lord, I want to know your will. Well, here's one of the aspects of his will. This is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Now, here it comes. Honor everyone. Who does that cover? Everyone. Honor everyone. The idea is we are not to be tearing people down, but we are to be giving honor to the people that God brings into our life. And then he adds, honor everyone, love the brotherhood. That means the church. We're to love one another. Fear God. And then it says, honor the emperor or honor the king. Now, what I've heard people say is this. They'll go, well, I would do that, but I don't think that particular guy or that particular person is worthy of honor. And so what we do is we set ourselves up as the judge. Do you know who was the emperor when Peter wrote this? Anybody know? Nero. Nero, a man that brought persecution on the church and ultimately had Peter put to death. And yet Peter said we are to give him honor. So church, regardless of the winner of the election, let's pray for them and let's give them honor. Number two, we must commit as the church to walk in unity and love with those who differ. I'm going to do a message in a couple weeks where Jesus talks about judge not, lest you be judged. In Romans 14, what Paul says is we are not to judge one another on matters that are disputable. What that means is there's some things that Scripture is absolutely clear on, and there are other things that different believers can disagree on. And we are not to judge people on matters that are disputable. So we walk in unity. We love one another. The Scriptures tell us not only do we love the brethren, we even love our enemies. And so we are called to love whether we get what we want or not. Third, we must continue to live as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The world keeps going. after an election, there are so many people that feel like this is going to be the day that changes history. And it will. History changes every day. But we must continue to be who we're called to be. We are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That is our calling. Let's continue to do that. And then last, hear this. Don't panic. If it doesn't happen the way that you want it to happen, remember this. We continue to believe that our God is sovereign. Our God is in control. Our God is seated on the throne. And that He is the King over kings. He is the Lord over lords. He is the President over presidents. Tells us in Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is King. So regardless of the earthly outcome, Jesus is on the throne. He is our King. So no matter what happens, don't panic. God is still in control. All right, we want to look back at this Matthew passage. And Jesus begins it with a simple statement. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures where? On earth, where moth, rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. He starts it with this principle. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures here, but lay them up there. That is the point. Invest in what lasts. Invest in what is eternal. And it gives three reasons. And this is, by the way, I said it before, this is going to be a bullet point message. We're just going to go boom, 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 and we're going to get through. All right, so the first thing, first reason is he says, earthly treasures are what? Read that. Temporary. The stuff of this earth does not last. How many of you ever had a car with that new car smell? Does it last? No. How many of you said, man, I got to get a new computer with all the best memory? And how long does that last? Yeah, just a short amount of, you say, I got to get me a new pair of jeans. I got, man, and what happens with the jeans? They wear out. Everything, 2 days, she says. You're pretty tough on jeans. But the point is, the stuff of this world does not last. It wears out. It becomes obsolete. I've had people break into my house and steal my stuff. And you know what? Life goes on. I'm still here. God still provides. Don't invest in this world because the things of this world do not last. They are temporary. Second, earthly treasures are not just temporary. They're deceitful. They will deceive you. We think we've got to have them. We think that our life will be, you know, just full if we get it. And a lot of times we get something and it brings us momentary satisfaction. And then our eye starts looking for something else. This year, I don't know what it's going to be, but there's going to be an it Christmas gift that parents have to get for their kids. Every year there's something. I remember in the 80s, there was this furor over Cabbage Patch Kids. Any of you guys ever get a Cabbage Patch Kid when you were little? Did it change your life? Maybe for a day. You get that perfect present, and you're so excited, and then your parents a week later are going, they never play with it. They play with the boxes. Stuff like that does not, it brings momentary satisfaction, momentary fulfillment. Last week I mentioned about lotteries. I did a little research this week. There was a winner, Lynette Nichols. She won $48 million in the lottery. Here's her statement. We had 1 month of good times and 3 years of misery. I'd trade it all for a normal life. She ended up an alcoholic, was treated for tranquilizer abuse. She had 3 pacemaker operations since her big win and 1 divorce. Money that she thought was going to bring happiness created anxiety, stress. Other people wanted what she had. It just totally threw a life that was moving fine into chaos. Sometimes we think that these things will satisfy, but they're a trap. There's a word Jesus uses in Mark chapter 4. He talks about the sower of the seed. And he talks about, he uses this phrase, the deceitfulness of riches. Everybody just say that. The deceitfulness of riches. The word that's translated deceitfulness is the same word in the Greek language that's used for a mirage. Isn't that interesting? And you know what a mirage is. Some guy's in the desert. He's crawling. He's desperately crying out for water. And he looks up and he sees palm trees, water. And he gets up and he staggers. And he gets there and he throws himself down. And what does he get? Mouthful of sand. We think that the things of this earth, whether it's money, whether it's stuff, whatever it is that catches our eye, we think it's going to satisfy. But we end up with just a mouthful of sand. Because it's deceitful. Materialism, stuff of this earth, competes for the allegiance that we owe only to Him. That's the third thing. Earthly stuff will compete for your heart. Earthly stuff will compete for your heart. The more you see it, the more you want it, the more you want it, the more you got to have it. And suddenly we fall into this sickness of gotta have more. And we don't realize that while we're grabbing stuff, it's grabbing us. And we think we've got a hold of it, but in reality, it's got a hold of us. And the Bible has a word for that. It's called an idol. And the stuff of earth can become an idol in your life, And it will ensnare you and drag you down because you're never satisfied and you think you've got to have more. But Jesus says this, no one can serve what? Two masters. You can't have two gods. You can't have two bosses. And we say the right words. We go, oh, no, I can do without that stuff. We say that, but it keeps wooing us back, keeps calling us back. And we devote our time, our energy, our money to getting more and more and more. And it's one of the things that in the American lifestyle, we have become massive consumers. And people end up indebted because they keep going for more and more and more. And it's a trap. But more than a trap, it's a false god. And it will not and cannot satisfy. There was a clinical psychiatrist who back in the 1960s wrote a book called Whatever Happened to Sin. And the point of the book was that in psychiatry and psychology, we treat everything now as a sickness, but we never say that anything's wrong. But the reality is there's some things that are wrong, and there's some things that are harmful to us. And so he was pitching the point that we've got to restore the word sin because there's some things that are destructive for us. And greed and materialism is destructive to us. He tells about having a conversation with a wealthy patient. Now, you would think wealthy people, what do they have to worry about? Why do they have stress? So he's having this conversation. And he says to the wealthy guy, he says, what on earth are you going to do with all that money? The patient says, just worry about it, I suppose. Dr. Manager says, well, do you get that much pleasure out of worrying about it? The patient, no, but I get such terror when I think of someone else having it. I can't give it up. I thought I had it, but it's got me. So what's the solution? Jesus says, where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. What we have to do is we've got to examine our heart, and we've got to see what really has us and where are we investing our mind, our energy, our thoughts, and our money. Is it just to get more and to acquire more stuff? Let me give you a couple thoughts, scriptural thoughts that may help you as you walk through this world. So here's number one. We must remember that we are, say that word, pilgrims, not permanent residents. The idea of a pilgrim is we're just passing through. Have any of you ever visited another country? Few of us. You know, one of the things that they do when you're getting ready to get on the plane, they weigh your suitcase. You can only take so much. And then when you're coming back, that's what they do. They weigh your suitcase because you can only bring so much back. I don't care if you spent 6 weeks there, 6 days there, 6 years there. When you get on that plane, you're making a journey and you can't take it all with you. We are pilgrims in this world. We are only here for a short while. Our ultimate destination is not here. Our ultimate destination is in eternity with Him. Don't think that the stuff that you acquire here is of any good to you in eternity. You've heard it said 100 times before. You never see a hearse with a U-Haul being dragged behind it. Why? Because you can't take it with you. But what they say you need to do is send it on ahead. Second thing, don't just see yourself as a pilgrim, see yourself as a steward. Now, we don't use that word much anymore, but what it really means is as a manager. Everything that you think you possess belongs ultimately to God. This is His world. We used to sing an old hymn, "This is my Father's world." Everything in it belongs to Him. And so we are here to manage His stuff. I read about a little girl that was, you know, grew up in the city, and they took her out, took the class out for a field trip, and they were out just this beautiful place with meadows and flowers. And the little girl, about 5 years old, she looks up at the teacher and goes, "You think God will let me pick one of His flowers?" That's a great viewpoint. Everything out here is His. And so I'm not an owner, I'm just a caretaker. So quit thinking that you have to get, because it's not really yours anyway. So don't see yourself as an owner, but see yourself as a caretaker or as a manager. So I'm going to give you now just a couple quick thoughts in how to get focused on the next life. Jesus said, "Where your heart is, there your treasure will be." Well, the first thing that you think about when you see that is, okay, I've got to shift my heart. I got to make sure my heart is set on the things of God. You know how you do that? You invest in the things of God. Wherever you invest your time, wherever you send your money, whatever you invest in, your heart is going to get connected. If you start giving, I see Kevin back there. Kevin, you and I were talking about this yesterday. Kevin actually helped crystallize that in my mind. But wherever you invest yourself, whatever you give to, today we're about to have a chili cook-off. You know what that's going for? Money is going to missionaries. This is a way to say, you know what? I got an extra 20 in my pocket. Let me give it to missions. When we start giving to our missionaries, when we start getting involved in Rescue One, when we start serving at the branch, when we start giving to Compassionate Hope, when we start sending it out to bless others, you know what happens to our heart? We become attached to that. Start investing out, not just in yourself. So that's the first thing. Invest in people, not things. Invest in causes that affect people. Way back in early Rome, there was a time when persecution was coming to the church again. And Roman authorities broke into a church in North Africa, and they demanded the church's treasure. They'd heard the church was wealthy. They demanded that the church hand over their treasure. And Laurentius, he gathered together. They had widows there. They had orphans there. They had the poor there gathered around. He gathered them, and he brought them before the Roman authorities, and he said, "These are the treasures of the church. This is where our money goes." Because they were caring for the needy, for the poor, for the orphans, for the widows. People are the treasure of God, not stuff. Number two, be a giver, not a consumer, not just a spender. Be a giver. The more you give, the more it releases stuff's grip on you. Any of you grow up on the farm, dairy farm, anybody? I'm not a farmer. That's not my background. But I was talking to a guy that had grown up on a dairy farm, and this is what he said, and you guys can tell me if it's true or not. He said that the more you milk a cow, notice my milking, the more you milk a cow, the more milk it'll produce. Anybody, is that right? Yes, I take it. Absolute authority. Who said that, Dan? No, Ernest said that. All right. The more you milk, the more they produce milk. And this guy said to me, he said, that's what God's people need to understand. What we think is, I can't afford to give. But the truth is, the more you give, the more God empowers you to give. God, as we give away, God blesses us. Now, I want you to hear something here. There is a false teaching about prosperity that I'm about to correct. We don't give to get. The idea of if we give, we get more, so we become rich. No, we give to get to give. Did you catch that? We give, God gives back to us. Why? So that we can give more. Give, and it shall be what? Given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. As we begin to give out, God says, that's someone I can trust. And he blesses us, and we give more. So what's he do then? Continues to bless us. As we are faithful, he cares for us. Invest in the least, learn to give, trust God, and last, learn contentment. Learn contentment. Our American society exists to make you greedy. What are commercials all about? They are to stir up an appetite in you, whether it's for a Big Mac or for a new car, for a new computer. Everything about our society says you've got to have this. Learn to be content. You don't have to have the newest phone. You don't have to have the newest computer. You don't have to have the newest car. You don't have to have the newest and best clothes. Learn to be content. For godliness with contentment is great gain. I want to pray for you. Today you have an opportunity to fellowship together, to enjoy chili, but let it be the beginning of something new in your life. Go into it saying, Lord, how much do you want me to give? So that you can be a blessing to missionaries and to people that are serving in other parts of the world. It's just a small thing. But it's where we start. We start with the little things. And then begin to live out this practice. You're a pilgrim. You're not a permanent resident. You're on a journey. You're a steward. You're not an owner. But learn to make your treasure the things that God values most. Let's pray.